Welcome to Wellness and Dentistry. My name is Dr. Martin Mendelson, a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader. And I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness and dentistry, both here as well as in our two-day in-person workshop called Lightside Live, which is coming up this November 1st and 2nd of 2024, held in Southern California on the Glidewell campus. So we're super excited for that. And if you're looking for more information, go to wellnessanddentistry.com and you'll find a link and testimonial information all about our live course. And today, we're actually going to be talking about priorities, how to set priorities, how to live by your priorities, and what does even a priority mean? We're going to talk about priorities versus values. But before we do that, we're starting to get more and more comments on our various postings. And one of the things that we always like to ask, by the way, is we are here giving this to you because we want to support our colleagues in dentistry. So one of the things we'd love to ask is give us a comment, give us a review so that other people can understand what it is we're doing here and have this grow within the community. We're already in 6 out of 7 continents, which we're super excited to share, but we're looking to grow this, as you might imagine. So Kyle, why don't you share that one comment so we can talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so for those of you that listen to most of our episodes, we did an episode where we talked a lot about setting expectations.
Yes.
And one of those big things on setting expectations that many of us dental professionals don't do is doing job descriptions.
Yep.
And so we got a comment from, I love her name, Dental Boss Lady.
Yes.
Great name.
Yes.
great handle. And she said, this is such a foundational building block of creating a team, yet so few dentists do it. It's one of the few things I did to literally turn my practice and my life around. When your team knows the rules, there can be accountability on both sides.
Amen.
And this is pretty profound. She said, it turned my practice and my life around.
It doesn't surprise me at all, to be honest with you.
By making job descriptions?
Yeah.
I mean, you and I understand this.
Yeah.
But I think if you told 9 out of 10 dentists that you could turn your practice and your life around by making job descriptions, they would say, you're freaking crazy. What are you talking about?
Well, we didn't even talk about this ahead of time. So folks, I'm going to ask Kyle a question and we didn't set this up. So Kyle, would you look at Google as a profitable company that kind of knows what it's doing based upon its track record? Would you say yes? Okay.
Yes.
So the rather famous or infamous Project Aristotle that Google conducted, monitoring over 100 teams for a period of a year to see what really drove team cohesion and team success. One of the hallmark findings was structure and clarity yielded the highest performance team after team after team. So if you have this, shall we say, atmosphere in your practice where it's not my job, or I'll give an example. One of my clients the other day, I was working with him this week, and it turns out that the team left the nitrous and oxygen tanks on a Friday that were delivered that Wednesday. They come in on Monday. The cleaning crew came in. The alarms are going off.
Oh my gosh.
Tanks are empty. And when they address it on Monday, the response was, well, it's not my fault. And so this practice is working on creating those checklists and standard operating procedures and so forth. But the point is that when it's everybody's responsibility, it's nobody's responsibility. So,
so true.
You know what they say about people who assume. So why are we assuming that everybody understands what it is that we expect? We meaning the business, not necessarily us as individuals, but what needs to be done. I mean, we may know it up here, but have we spit it out between our lips is the question, right?
It's so true. And I think as a parent, I've learned this the hard way too, is I think that my children expect to know what I want.
Yeah.
Or even in a marriage. I mean, I'm sure you've been together for a long time.
Yes.
That if you tell your spouse, if you assume your spouse knows what you want,
correct,
they will many times not know that. And then you can't get mad at them for them not reading your mind, right? It's the same with patients. It's the same with neighbors. It's the same with your family. It's the same with children. It's the same with your team.
Yeah.
Setting these expectations, having clarity in that, is so powerful, and it's something that I was
Absolutely.
very bad at in my life.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to give a plug for a company that I love these people. They're not sponsors of ours, but I'm more than happy to mention them because they do really good work. It's a company called Bent Erickson. They've been around for a long time, and they are basically a one-stop HR shop for dental practices. And so they can help you create these SOPs, these manuals, keep up with, you know, the various OSHA regulations and all that kind of good stuff. Because it is very onerous. And I'm sure you would agree, Kyle, that you've seen over the years, a lot of our colleagues don't have the stuff done because it just feels like it's so much work that how could I ever accomplish this and do dentistry at the same time? So, you know, this company in particular, I have a lot of experience with to help you create these things and not make it a burden and update it every year for what, in my opinion, is a pretty nominal fee to make sure that not only are you in compliance, but you're in, shall we say, communication and cohesion with the rest of the team. It's so critically important.
Yeah, and some of this stuff I think dentists feel like it's not a problem. Well, it's like anything. It's not a problem until it's a problem, and then it can turn into a big problem when you talk about things like you're talking about OSHA and legal aspects. I mean, one of the things that I think at my practice we weren't great at was documentation with employees. So when there's a written review, when they did something wrong, right? And from a legal standpoint, you have to have all of that because you can say, well, yeah, I talked to him or her three times about this already, and they say, okay, where's the document that that you both signed that said that this conversation happened? And you're going, wait, they're going to lie and say that I didn't have it. I mean, come on, we had this conversation. You remember it was after that patient. We came back. I talked to you about this. I said, we can't do it like this. But in a legal world, we have to be buttoned up. And I think that's why it helps to have partners in your practice that will do this. And that's what they focus on. And I think this is why the DSO, the DPO world has been so successful, whether you like it or not. It's that we dentists didn't go to dental school to do job descriptions. We didn't go to dental school to learn OSHA regulations, right? We went to dental school to treat patients, prep teeth, take teeth out, do surgery, do endo. And so I think when you can outsource some of this stuff, it's like you talk about with the Eisenhower matrix. This is a quadrant of the
Oh, a
matrix
hundred
that
percent.
you can
Oh, a hundred
outsource,
percent. Yeah.
then you can really focus on what you like to do.
I mean, I ask myself that question in my speaking, coaching, consulting business all the time. I literally sit down. I know what I bill per hour. I know what my rate is. Our dentist clinical colleagues should know that too. And I sit down and I do the math. And, you know, recently, you know, I mentioned I'm releasing this online course soon. And I thought about how long it would take me to launch the LMS, the Learning Management System site, to program it, to upload everything, et cetera. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, if this costs me less than X, there is no reason why I shouldn't be spending that money because I'm going to be spending the time in money if I were to take that on myself, because everything that you say no to, everything you say yes to, you say no to something else. So we got to be really careful with that relative to our time versus financial burden, task versus urgency burden, and so forth. So,
So let's get into our topic for today. The topic is priorities. And why I wanted to bring this up was because before my burnout, I didn't have my priorities straight. My priorities were something like fame, money, growth, then maybe family, then maybe health. I mean, it's something around that. And this really got me in trouble. Now, when we were talking before, you were pushing back on me and saying, are those priorities or are those values? And my initial response was, well, I think the answer is prioritizing the values. Can you expand on maybe what the difference is on values versus priorities? Because I like that you push back on me.
So That's a really good question. And we didn't talk about that earlier, but I think it also goes to some of the things we talked about earlier relative to sometimes there will be occasions or periods of time where we need to grind and that's okay.
Yes.
And so I think this goes back to that discussion in some ways, in that you have values and you have prior, you know, and then those values drive your priorities. That means when I say it this way, I mean the actions in order in a given day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you value your family and you value your practice, and there are things at certain points where one needs to come before the other, then it's not like your value changes, but the priority does.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that nuance.
Right.
Because it's, I don't want people listening to this to think if health is always at the top, let's say,
right.
If your family needs you, you don't say, well, I'm going to go to the gym.
Right.
Right. It can still be a priority, but
correct.
Today, I need to take my daughter to dance class, or I need to help my wife. My wife is
correct.
Sick, so I need to correct. Help her today, let's say.
Correct. And so the other nuance that this would lead into, therefore, would be you have value for your health and you have a value for your family. Your family needs you to do X. That doesn't mean that you disvalue your health. And we need to also prioritize it using in the best way that we can. So what I mean by that is, okay, so our family needs us. We're going to go and do X. We're still going to value our health. And instead of going to the gym, we're going to do 80 sit-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this idea where we need to be careful of judgment relative to all or nothing, because it's not all or nothing.
Yes.
Because one will always be greater than zero, one of my favorite new phrases. Mm-hmm. And so you are still living your values, you're prioritizing your tasks. And in the example that I just gave you, you're prioritizing your family first because that's an urgent need. And you're also fitting in some element of health by doing the 80 sit-ups versus going to the gym and being away from your family.
Yeah. So let me tell my story on mm-hmm. this and why I think this is so important. Was before my burnout, I had been grinding forever. Like we talked mm-hmm. about before, I've been grinding since high school, basically. High school and college and dental school and residency and associateship. Got my practice grinded even more. So, you know, once you have your own practice, there's mm-hmm. you, it's only you that you have to to report to, right? I mean, I also have partners as well, so I have to report to them too. We remodeled the practice. I mean, it was crazy. We were growing it. I was just so busy. And for me, it was really getting more well-known so that we could bring in more patients, getting more well-known so that my speaking career could grow, so that my research career could grow. And that, and making more money, I got a little bit of money. I started feeling, whoa, this is nice. I'd like to make mm-hmm. more. And so as that grew, what happened was, like you're talking about, it's hard to multitask. As I focused more on those, let's say three, right? Money, fame, or you know, money, prestige, and growth, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
As I focused on those three, my other ones went down the drain.
Yeah.
Mental health, physical health, family time,
mm-hmm.
Self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got to the point of where it was unsustainable for me, to where I had this breakdown. So there would be times when my wife would say, you know, I'd really love to have you home for dinner, let's
yeah.
say. And I would say, I can't, you know, it's,
right.
I have to work till 7 every day. That's just what it is. And this wasn't I have to work till 7 every day until next year or until
right.
June or
right.
for the next 3 months. It
right.
was kind of indefinite. And it really wasn't until I had this breakdown I realized that my priorities were off. And when I reprioritized my values, it became so much easier to make decisions.
Yes.
So I wanna also have some nuance in this, in the sense that it's not like every decision is super easy now. I still
No.
get drawn, like the sirens in Greek mythology, to these money and fame and growth, but I'm more aware of it. I make less mistakes with it because I feel like I finally know what my priorities are.
Yeah, I'll give a business example. So I worked for Vita in North America for a period of almost 5 years. And toward the end of my tenure there, before I joined Spear, we had a new president come in. He was great. And we did this offsite. We basically blew up the company structurally and started over from scratch. And so we had a series of strategic priorities. And I don't remember the exact number because it's well over a decade now, but let's just say it was six, right? And it became very easy for me to, excuse me, it became easier for me to do my job because if I came upon a situation where I had to make a decision, an executive-based decision, I would look at the six priorities and say, how does it fit into the six priorities? And if it didn't, it was much easier for me to not only say no, but understand why I was saying no, or pivoting, or postponing, or whatever the case may be. And so when you have that clarity, as you put it, it's not that it makes it easy, but it makes it more clear what it is you
Yes.
need to do,
Yeah.
right?
And I'll give an example from my current life, which is on the speaking and education side, is that if I get invited for an event and they're paying my normal fee, which I feel good about, but it's on a Saturday, I don't really like to have work on the weekends. My wife has told me it's important for her that I don't work Saturdays if possible. However, there's times when it makes sense from a financial standpoint. The difference is now is that I come to her and say, listen, I got invited to speak in Florida this day. I'd have to fly Friday, then I'd speak Saturday, I'd be home Saturday night, but it's for this amount of money. What do you think? And she can make the priority. And sometimes what she'll say is, okay, well then can you take that Thursday off from work, so that we can have family time and be together when the kids go home from school? And so I don't want people to think that it's so rigid, but like you said, when you can look, and I like that you kind of, I had the visual of you being at a desk. It was a dirty desk. No offense. It was a dirty desk. There was stuff all over, but there was like a laminated card up to the right of your computer that said those six
It's
priorities.
not
It was
too far from the
purple.
truth.
It was purple, by the way. And there were those six priorities. And when you're making these decisions, to be able to look and say, ah, boom, 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 boom. Are we supporting our doctors better? Are we having better aesthetics? Are we, I know, whatever the Vita priorities were, it becomes so much easier to make those decisions.
Oh, 100%. It was a really great life lesson, let alone business lesson. It creates a great amount of clarity. And within the confines of a small business, it can make even greater clarity. It can provide even greater clarity because if we're talking about making financial decisions, cash flow is king. And so there may be a situation where, oh, well, I really want to go ahead and buy this new piece of technology. Well, how's that going to impact the priorities that you have relative to your planned production? Is it going to impact the total number of days you're going to be able to produce within a given year? Because in order to fully utilize this technology, you need training, which makes sense. And so then therefore you're going to lose additional production days. I just worked, listen to me. I just walked a friend through a decision-making process about do they leave their current job for a different job? And there were a bunch of variables, and there were variables with vacation. There were variables with at-home work versus in the office. There were variables with insurance, personal money outlaid for medical insurance. And so we did this whole analysis, and it was actually kind of super fun to take into account all those areas. And what it came down to was the priority of having a non-toxic work environment.
That was a high priority for them.
It was huge. And there was another priority relative to medical insurance because they had a certain type for many, many years. They were very comfortable with that. While at the same time, they were willing to give up a little comfort to have a greater level of peace in their life on a day-to-day basis, even though it meant potential inconveniences in the, you know, in terms of going into the office versus home, et cetera. So I guess what I'm trying to say is every single thing is a trade-off. And if we understand what our core priorities, our core values are, it makes it easier to then navigate through the decision-making process when we are forced with a decision that may seem challenging or difficult because there's an emotional component to it. See, I think that's what we've been talking about. We haven't even labeled it as such, right?
Yeah, that I like how you said that.
Yeah.
Because the emotions sometimes take over our rational thinking.
Correct. Correct.
And so we get into this amygdala hijack, let's say.
Yes.
I mean, maybe it's not even that far, but there may be some type of amygdala lizard brain thinking. But if you have this North Star, that is, you know where your priorities are, it makes those decisions so much easier. And what I was thinking about as you were talking was decision fatigue.
Yeah.
Something that you and I have talked about before. We talk about on Lightside Live. If I remember the statistic correctly, I think the average American or the average person today makes 35,000 decisions a day.
Yeah.
If we can make a portion of those decisions much easier. So let's say you still have to make 35,000.
Yeah.
But you don't have to contemplate as much. It becomes a lot easier. A or B, A or B. Oh, well, A in this case, because my priorities are so-and-so.
Yeah.
That becomes so much easier. That idea of that North Star driving you.
Yeah.
You know, this goes back to with what's your purpose in life, right?
Oh, 100%.
Your purpose in life just to be an amazing clinical dentist. That can be part of your purpose. But I think if that is your entire purpose, it's not good long-term.
Yeah, you and I had some interesting interactions on online today about one of our previous episodes relative to, you know, purpose and, you know, not making dentistry your whole persona. And this individual is, you know, a very good dentist, and they really kind of pushed back and they were like, no, 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 if you don't work on being a good dentist, you're not going to be successful in practice. And I was the one who answered. And I said, listen, that we're not saying you shouldn't be learning about dentistry. What we're saying is if you make your entire persona, I'm a dentist, and everything that orbits around that is connected to that identity, well, Houston, we got a problem, because God forbid something happens like it did to me. And then you wake up and you go, now what? My identity has been taken away from me.
Yeah,
and I don't know where to go.
This is a question that you and I like to ask in Lightside Live. Who are you before you were a dentist?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's challenging for a lot of dental professionals. Now, to be fair, it's probably challenging for many other professionals.
Oh, 100%.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think this is unique to dentistry, because, you know, you travel a lot, you meet someone on the plane. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a consultant.
Yeah.
They don't say, well, I'm a husband or a father or, you know, a wife or a mother or we lead with our profession. And I think that is just modern day that's what people value.
You know, what I've come to, which, you know, some people have accused me as a little hokey, but it goes to my values, which is I'm not going to identify myself with a label, because I have had the experience of having my identity ripped away from me. And so I ended up.
Are you talking about a professional label, or are you talking about a label at all?
That brings up a good point. I'm going to go with label at all. And I'd like to table that just for a split second.
Okay.
Because I met and then connected and remained in touch with a Major League Baseball player who I didn't know was a Major League Baseball player. Because we were standing in line waiting for our delayed flight out of Charlotte. And he said, what do you do for a living? And I answered him the way I answer now, which is, I help people get out of their way on stages with their teams and one-on-one. And he looked at me, he goes, tell me more about that. And we had this great conversation. So I'm going to say almost labels in general, because one of the things that that dentist was kind of pushing back on is, you know, he said, which I actually haven't answered yet. He said, you know, dentistry is just like, you know, being in a marriage. And my thought was, no, because you can't love someone else effectively until you love yourself. And so you can argue that point all day long, but the truth of the matter is that we have to put our own oxygen masks on first. And until we truly love ourselves, we can't truly love somebody else. And until we truly accept ourselves, it's very difficult to accept others. And so I'm not saying you can't love unless you love yourself. I'm not being drastic and extreme. While at the same time, I'm saying from a health, mental health and healthy perspective, this is not a unique concept. This isn't my idea. We've all heard it over and over and over again. You can't truly love somebody else until you love yourself. So yeah, I would almost argue any label, right?
Any label. So did that person ask you, what do you do? Or did he say, what do you do for a living? I'm just curious.
I think he just said, what do you do?
Yeah, because that's an interesting question to answer.
Yeah.
To try to not answer with your job.
Correct. Yeah.
So would you still say that you help? Yeah.
Without a label.
Yes. But let's say he said, what do you do? And you wanted to answer without your profession.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how you would answer that?
I make people think.
And you're saying that out of your profession, or you're including your profession in that?
That's me. Like, I have friends that come to me all the time for, you know, perspective. That was the word I was looking for.
Because when someone asks me, what do you do? I lead with my value labels.
Mm.
So I usually say, I'm a father, I'm a mm-hmm. husband, I'm a family man. And what I also answer what I like to do for fun.
Yeah.
And then I say, you know, I do jiu-jitsu, I surf. Yeah. I like to, you know, play with my kids, go to hockey games. And many times they'll say, well, no, what do you do for a living?
Right.
And then I change and tell them what I do for a living.
Yeah.
And so I like to lead with my non-profession labels first. And I'm just talking this out with you because you and I didn't talk about this before.
Well, it's wild.
It's a mindset shift for me.
Yeah,
because I always led with my profession because I wanted to show off.
Yeah.
I thought that, well, it was really my identity. I mean, was one of the main things. I loved telling people that I was a doctor, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that made me feel good about myself. It came from an ego standpoint.
Sure. Yeah, I was watching an interview with Trevor Noah a couple of days ago, and he said he's been traveling the world a lot. And the interviewer, I wish I could remember who was interviewing him, said, you know, what's something that you've really changed your opinion or thought around recently? And he said, happiness. And so me being me, I was like, whoop. And so,
what did you say?
And he said, you know, he's noticed having traveled the world extensively recently that, shocker, it's all part of my certification that I learned, happiness is the journey, not the destination. And in certain cultures, it's about the family. It's about supporting the elders. It's about, you know, just feeling like everybody is provided for versus yourself. Whereas we in Western culture, particularly the United States, it's what do you do for a living?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you see this when you do travel, when you see people much less fortunate than you who are extremely happy.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, you know, growing up in Southern California, I remember we did a lot of mission trips and things with our church and going down there and building houses. And it was so powerful for me as a kid because I complained that I didn't have the latest shoes or I wanted this new hockey stick or something like this. And you go down there and I would see these kids just across the border that were 2 hours away from where I grew up that were playing with a stick and a ball of dirt.
Yeah.
And they didn't have running water. They didn't have enough food. And it really opens your eyes to they were very happy too. They were very content.
I tell this story is actually in my book. I grew up, my father's not a dentist. He's still with us when we record this. He's 95, and he was an engineer, and he was president of engineering for Pratt & Whitney, one of the largest jet engine manufacturers in the world. And this was the early to mid 80s, and he was given a company car. And I can't say this for sure, but my impression was, they would have bought him whatever he wanted. And most of the engineers had company cars back in the day. It was a perk. And I was very fortunate. I went to a private high school. And my dad, from 1951 until 1986, drove Buicks. That's all he would drive. American car, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember I went to this private high school, and all of a sudden I see, Johnny and Susie, or Biff and, whatever, our drive, parents are driving BMWs and Mercedes. And I looked at my dad and I said, "Why don't we have a BMW or a Mercedes?" And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, "Why is that important to you, son?" And it stopped me in my tracks and taught me a very profound life lesson at the age of 14.
Well,
Why is that important to
goes
you?
back to the topic of today, which is values priority. When we, if I think about your dad, and I don't know your dad as an engineer, as a leader, as someone that's quality based, that's, proud to be an American, right? This all makes sense. He wants reliability. He wants well-made parts from an integrity standpoint. He wants to know that they were made in-house, these type of things. I think it makes sense. You wonder why so many dentists like Porsches. You could argue that, well, dentists are in the top 5% of earners, and so maybe just all the top 5% of earners like Porsches. And I would argue, being a Porsche nut, that a lot of it is because of quality, precision, German manufacturing. The doors are parallel the whole way down. Things that we are obsessed about in dentistry, right?
It's true.
Margins,
It's
measuring
true.
in tenths of a millimeter, quality. We love that kind of stuff. And I think that's why so many dentists, we're engineers. We're engineers of the mouth. We're doctors and engineers put together and kind of mini architects too, right? And artists. And
Well,
that's why we like those kind of things.
and you and I both have a history of working in labs, and so it even goes to implant dentistry relative to, let's call it, original parts. You have Straumann, you have Straumann fixtures, so you're gonna have Straumann abutments, and Straumann screws and whatever, or Nobel or 3i, whatever, it doesn't matter. But it's you want to keep consistent with that company who you've chosen based on quality standards. Now, not all dentists are that way, however, many are. And so you want to maintain that quality by maintaining that consistency, that precision, et cetera, by staying with that singular implant company's components, right?
Let's talk about it because this brings me to a topic that you and I were talking about before, which is sub values. Okay. So if you think about many of the major values, and tell me if I'm missing any, I would think health, I would say relationships. Now, relationships could be family, friends, patients, team. I would put work as one of those. And am I missing anything else? It's like health, relationships, and work. I mean, that's kind of, you could put a lot of other subcategories in there, but I want to talk specifically about the work one because this is a podcast that was made for dental professionals. I think you have to think there on some of these subcategories. One that you talk about is team cohesion. There's things like soft skills, which would be under the work category. One that we just talked about with the car example would be precision or quality. And so I think even within these more general values or priorities, you have sub-values and sub-priorities.
Yeah, agreed. And you mentioned the Eisenhower matrix earlier. I think that For those that are unfamiliar, it was developed by Dwight D. Eisenhower. It's four quadrants. It's do it now, schedule it, delegate it, or delete it, or eliminate it. And so for those of us who love the Matrix and teach the Matrix, it's quadrant two, the scheduling one, that can make or break you. Because it's the stuff that isn't going to necessarily impact you today, but it will impact you tomorrow. So learning the soft skills, taking time with the team to help them grow.
The OSHA stuff that we talked about.
Exactly. And so you can get it done and you can fit it in. It's one of my favorite things to coach on is like how to take this overwhelm and create optimal performance out of it. It's literally a prioritization exercise of figuring out what needs to be done when, because guess what? If everything's important, then nothing's important. And not everything is important. And so when you have a better handle on things, like we were talking about earlier, it makes it much more simple to make the decision. Maybe not easy, but it makes it more simple to make the decision.
I'm thinking, you know how I always talk about expectations, boundaries, and communications.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you think priorities or values is a subcategory, or should that be the fourth pillar?
I think knee-jerk response is it almost feels like a subcategory of boundaries. Because boundaries are bounded by things that are important. So you have a boundary not to work on Saturday because your family is a value of yours. So I would say it's a subcategory of boundaries.
We're doing live coaching here, guys.
We are.
Martin is coaching me as I'm thinking through some of this. And what's interesting is I'm having the awareness currently live on air while we're recording this, mm-hmm. is that priorities made such a big difference for me.
Yeah.
It made things so much easier for me. It made me have less guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another thing that we haven't talked about today. It made it easier to say no.
Yeah, totally.
And here's what I realized is that I thought when I said no, people disrespected me or didn't mm-hmm. like me. And what I found was that people respected me even more.
Yeah.
Because they knew my priorities more. So, for mm-hmm. example, for me, a lot of times saying no, you know, earlier in my career was saying no to patients. Mm-hmm. I had a very challenging time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Once I went through burnout, it became a lot easier to say no to patients because I knew what was important to me. I knew more of red flags that I should look for.
Mm-hmm.
Current day, it's more on the education side, research,
sure.
you know, business opportunities. Sure. But I find that when I do say no, especially if I give a reason, you don't mm-hmm. have to give a reason, but if I do give a reason, like for example, I'll give a great example. I was invited to speak at a really awesome event in Mallorca. Okay. I think it's happening maybe this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But we have some family things that were planned months in advance for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I told this is an implant company and that I work with all the time. And I told them, I really wish I could, but we have some family stuff that's been scheduled. Yep. It's very important. I'm sorry, I can't make it. And they were like, oh, no problem. We totally understand. And we value that you are a person mm-hmm. that values your family. Yep. They weren't like, come on, Dr. Stanley, we really need you. And you've got to do this. You always do this stuff for us. No, they were like, we'll miss you. And, you know, you'll mm-hmm. miss a great event because they put on amazing events. But that was one of the things where I had my priority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you this. It wasn't easy to say no to.
Right.
I still was, what's the word? Like when it tried to attract me, I was still.
Like drawn?
Drawn, yeah. I was still drawn to want to say yes.
Well, yeah.
It's in Mallorca. It's going to be a great stage. I know a lot of the other speakers. It would be a fun time. And so my initial thought was like, ooh, maybe could I make this work? And then I looked at the schedule and said, oh yeah, we have that happening. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hard to write to write that email back or to text them or whatever it was, but I did it. And I'll tell you, once I did it, I sure felt good.
Sure, of course. Yeah. And I would say to you too, something that hadn't occurred to me before, maybe it's the occasion, maybe the occasions where it's really hard to say no, it's because you're making a choice between two things that you want to do, yet because you've been honest with yourself and have created your own boundaries, you're able to lock into your value and say, no, I'm going to stay with my family because this is important to me. And even though this other thing I want to do too, I'm going to put up the wall and say no.
It's a great point. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
It's harder to make these decisions when it's two things you want to do.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
even those two things
Yeah.
could be on your value list,
Totally. Totally.
but one is higher than the
Yeah.
other. And so in that case,
Yeah.
I would hope that you've set these values aside, you've prioritized them so that if you look at those, you know, ah, yes, they're both great. However, this one's higher. And so now I'm going to make this
Yeah,
decision.
hundred
And as
percent.
I'm saying that, it's reminding me of one of the exercises that we do in Lightside Life. And if you guys haven't signed up, go sign up. It is such an amazing course. Come on. So you can go to wellnessanddentistry.com, go to links and sign up. It's going to be so life-changing for you. But one of the exercises that we do is we have all these values.
Yeah.
And we make you sort them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it becomes very easy when you have 50,
Yep.
right? And
Yep.
then when you get down to five
Yep.
or
And
three,
then three.
and people are going, oh my gosh, what do you mean? I gotta pick one. It's like one is higher.
And people sweat, not literally, but people sweat over this. And every time we do it, it's so much fun because we always get the exact same verbal response. This is a lot harder than it looks. Yep. And if it weren't, it wouldn't be as impactful. And so,
And one of the takeaways that I love from that exercise, and everybody does it, is they take a picture.
Yes.
And I think that picture should be
Yeah.
the thing that you have somewhere, you have written
Yeah.
down, or you have,
Yeah.
even if you just have it in your head, but
Yeah.
that you can spout it off. It's like one
Yeah.
of the things I talk about is knowing what your purpose is in life. If you don't know what it is, it's hard to make decisions and make priorities. But if you know what it is, it's much easier to do that. And so it's like I always say, if you're walking down the street in New York City, there's hundreds of people around, brr, 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 there's taxis, all kind of stuff. And someone walks by and says, what's your purpose in life? You should be able to turn around and say, boom,
Yeah.
and say it
Yeah.
right then, right?
Yeah. So I worked with this marketing company in the past, and they were really great to hone in on my brand DNA, as they call it. And so they made me figure out what the one word problem is I solve for clients. Yeah, how hard that was.
One word.
One word problem and one word solution.
Can you tell me what it
Which,
is?
yeah, of course, which is how and why the book came about. So the one word problem is fear,
Okay.
and the one word solution is courage. Hence, move inside your head and with your actions, which is probably the title of my book. So it's a really hard thing to do to get down to three values or one word problem that you solve for people, et cetera. Actually, it might be an interesting thing for us to consider relative to dentistry as an exercise for Lightside Lab. What's the one word problem you solve in your practice? Because I guarantee you it won't be the same for everybody.
That's interesting. And as we're
Yeah.
talking about this, I'm thinking of, because it's happening to me live, is so much of this value sort, priority sort, is the awareness of it.
Oh, 100%.
So you and I love to talk about awareness, realize it's the first step in one of my
Yeah.
frameworks. If you have awareness of your values, if you know what they are, it's so much easier to follow through.
Oh,
It's like a
100%.
map. You know, if I
Yeah.
just told you, hey, go down to the grocery store and you don't have a map, you walk this way. Oh, there's a
Yep.
cul-de-sac. You walk this way. Ooh, this is
Yep.
really busy traffic. Oh, you walk this way. You can't cross the street. But if you have a map and you know, I want to go here, I turn right, turn left, turn
Yeah.
right. It becomes so much easier to get there.
Well, you could argue, I mean, that's what's emotional intelligence. It's intelligence about your emotions, understanding what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're projecting, and how then, therefore, it affects your interactions with peers, society, stress tolerance, flexibility, decision making. These are all composites within emotional intelligence. It's
That's so
all
true.
About awareness.
I like that. All right, so we're coming to the end. We've talked a lot about values. We've talked a lot about prioritizing those values, having the awareness. One of our favorite topics of purpose has come in today. We've talked about communication and expectations and boundaries. You have any final thoughts for today?
Yeah, something that was rattling around in my brain is that our values can change over time as we go through life, but it's not like they change minute to minute. And at the same time, with our values being consistent, it can influence at times our priorities, and that's okay. If we're staying true to our values and making sure that we are honoring our values, that in any given one moment, we may need to prioritize this versus that. But at the end of the day, we're still honoring the value and upholding that value in our overall actions.
Yeah. One thing I learned from one of my mentors, Christian Coachman, is you always have to make the 5, 10, 20-year plan. But every year you need to reprioritize it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So you have the long-term plan, but things change. And so every year that plan needs to be reprioritized. It doesn't mean you won't hit it. It just means there's new priorities at different times.
Correct.
And so I like how you said that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that also gives people the feeling that we're not saying this to be so rigid about everything. It's so structured in your life. No, we're humans. Yeah. And there's times when you bend, you just don't want it to break.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, great. Well, everybody, I hope that you guys enjoyed this talk. I sure did. I mean, I got some free coaching from Martin. I don't know. He may be sending me a bill later, but I really learned a lot about myself, I think, today, talking about priorities, values. It was a huge change from my life. When I did this, things fell in place, decisions became easier. And so I hope that in your practice, in your personal life, in your professional life, things can become easier because you have to make all these decisions anyways. Let's make these decisions easier for you.
Yep.
If you haven't written us a written review, we would love that. Take a screenshot of it, send it to us, you know, Instagram or email it to us. All of our contacts are on wellnessanddentistry.com. If you're interested in anything we do, go there. And lastly, one more time, go and sign up for Lightside Live. What are you waiting for? We're so much fun. Martin and I are so much fun. Why would you not want to hang out with us for 2 days?
We have alumni coming back that just want to hang out. So
we do. We have 4 or 5 of them, I think, coming back. So yeah, it'll be really, really fun. But anyways, thanks for listening, guys. We love to put this free content out there just to help our colleagues, our profession do better. And all we ask is maybe you write us a review. Maybe you send this to someone else. We'll see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry. See you later.
Bye-bye.